Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester. 29 after, good morning. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Glenn's got a fresh story corner coming up. Father Rocky is here a little bit later on this morning, but right now we're going to get ready for Lent. You say, wait a minute, it's still in January. Lent's early this year. It's Wednesday, February 17th, but there are some things that you and I can do right now today to prepare. And Father David Genuine, a member of our morning family, is going to help us with that. He's a priest of the Diocese of Saginaw, Wisconsin, the parish administrator pro tem of St. Peter Parish in Chesaning, Michigan, and St. Cyril Parish in Bannister, Michigan. How am I going to get all that on a t-shirt, Father? Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, try to fit that onto a business card.
I was just going to say, how big is that? Is that a 3x5 card instead of a business card? That's a lot. By the way, you know, we hear so many of these terms, you know, pastor pro tem, parish administrator pro tem. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, it's funny because it's kind of a, I mean, if this was the military, it would be an alphabet soup of things. But, you know, I think everybody knows what a pastor is. But even then, when you read church documents, they talk about pastors and they're talking about bishops. And so we kind of bandy about a lot of these words, and they kind of mean one thing in one setting and another thing in another setting. But as far as your parish priest, your pastor, he actually, you know, you always have responsibilities. But a pastor has rights under church law, and a pastor has permanence under church law. Whereas a parochial vicar, that's your, they used to call them associate pastors or the assistant pastor. And I guess the joke on that one is they don't have any responsibilities or any rights or any permanence. And so a parochial vicar can be plucked up and plucked down anywhere. Basically, the parochial vicar is do what you're told. That's vicar is where we get the like vice, but more like vice president, not like Miami Vice. So they're the vice pastor. They get whatever kind of the pastor asks them to do. What I've just been appointed is a parochial administrator, and that's always temporary. Although there are some situations where priests have been appointed parochial administrator, and they're there for 10 years, and that's not supposed to happen. A parochial administrator is appointed in the absence of the pastor. And in this case, the pastor is going on a leave of absence to have some surgeries. And I've got roughly 156 days to screw the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I am definitely the temporary administrator in that. And then the other kind of catch-all phrase is chaplain. And a chaplain is assigned to a nursing home or perhaps a hospital or a high school or a particular group, like a language group, you know, be a pastor to the Vietnamese community or a pastor mm-hmm. to a Latin Mass community. And they're not really a pastor as far as that goes, but they're a chaplain. And they're, you know, because they don't necessarily have a building. They may go from church to church to church serving a particular need. So it's kind of the long and the short of it. And different dioceses have different terms. For a while, we had a term called sacramental minister, which meant a priest who would kind of pop in and pop out. And some parishes or some dioceses, they call them supply priests, or you're a circuit rider. Kind of like in the old days that you'd get on a horse and you'd just kind of keep on going until you came back.
I could see you on a horse.
I would like that. But it requires, I think I would need a squire to take care of it because I'm not sure I would be able to take care of it properly. But the funny part about that is that in some parts of Africa, in fact, most of our African priests probably have experienced this, is that they would get on a motorcycle at the break of dawn and ride to the first parish and then ride to the second parish and ride to the third parish and ride to the fourth parish. And every time they got somewhere, they would have mass and then they'd have a meal and then they'd have go to the next place, have mass, have a meal. So they'd have breakfast, lunch, dinner, brunch. And by the time they're finished with their Sunday, they've had half a dozen stops and half a dozen masses, and they've probably covered who knows how much territory on a motorbike.
Wow. Wow. Fascinating stuff. Father David Genuine with us today. And of course, we're talking about preparing for Lent. And you and I can do that right now. Just because we're in ordinary time, and I quote that great philosopher Kermit the Frog, it's not easy being green. There's stuff we have to do. This is not kind of kick back and relax time, is it?
Right. No, not at all. And in fact, in a certain sense, we have to pregame. And just like anything, you practice if you're prepping for a sport, or if you're in theater or concerts or whatever, there's rehearsals. And we need to do the same thing. And so instead of considering ordinary time as cruise control or just chilling out, we've got to realize, in fact, where's the time going? That this is an early Lent year. And so Lent is going to be on us in 3 weeks and 3.5 weeks. And so what do? Well, it comes on to us like a thief in the night. For myself, I always look back, good grief, 25 years ago when I went into boot camp, I actually did it with the intention of being in boot camp during Lent. And it was probably the most intense Lent I've ever had. But nonetheless, I think that's a good thing to think of. Boot camp is your preparation for military service. If you can't make it through the prep, what do you got? So we may as well give ourselves the prep, the preparation time. And then historically, the church has had these sort of things. I think we all know what Carnival is, and we all know what Mardi Gras is. But that's kind of, I jokingly call Carnival party like it's 1565. Carnival actually literally means saying goodbye to meat. And so for the 3 weeks before coming up on Lent, they would try to eat all the meat they could to get it, because they didn't have refrigerators and they didn't have freezers, and so they needed to get rid of it.
Sure.
And so they would just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and that turned into Carnival, which is interesting because in the Eastern churches, a couple of weeks before Lent is what's called meat fair, and fair as in farewell. And so the same sort of thing. Carnevale is Latin for, or is Romance language for, say goodbye to meat. And the Greeks even have that in their rituals where it's, meat fair Sunday. And then the Sunday before Lent is called cheese fair Sunday. So they actually fast from all dairy products as well. So no eggs, no cheese, no milk, no butter until Easter. So that's pretty intense. And so, but you give yourself that preparation time. Now, the days that it was kind of clever what they did in the Middle Ages was the Latin term for Lent is quadragesima, which means the 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
And probably not very good with math, but so the week before was called quinquagesima, the 50 days. Well, wait a second, that's only 47.
right, exactly.
That was called sexagesima, and it's like, wait, that's not, there's not 10 days a week. And so technically in the 1962 usage, which is still used in some places, and there's chapels and parishes that use they call the extraordinary form, next Sunday is septagesima, which is the 70th, basically 3 weeks before Lent starts, and it's kind of got the moniker of 70 days. And technically you can play with the numbers and say, well, it's 70 days until Divine Mercy Sunday, or it's 70 days if you subtract out certain days for fasting and ask. But whatever, it's a countdown, 7, 6, 5, boom, here we are at the 40 days. And so if for the folks who are part of the Extraordinary Form chapels or parishes, they'll actually stop using the Alleluia Sunday. And
right.
They won't sing the Gloria on Sunday. And that's, but they will continue to use the music of what we would construe as ordinary time. And then they don't focus on Lenten music until Lent. And so it's kind of a pregame for them,
right,
as that goes. In the Eastern Rites and the Greeks, some of them start 3 weeks before, 2 weeks before, 5 weeks before. And they look at the gospel readings. And in the Eastern Rites, they focus on repentance and righteousness and mercy and justice and sin. And so it's kind of this, getting on your game face, doing
sure.
the mental game, and what are we getting ready for in Great Lent is we're getting ready to prepare ourselves. And so it's it's a really, you know, kind of, I think sometimes we approach Lent with fear and trembling, and we should really kind of look at it as it's our pregame. It's our pregame for whereas right now talking about pregaming for Lent is our pregame for eternity.
Yeah.
We want the shortest path between our ultimate end and paradise, and kind of, you know, get me out of purgatory as quickly as I can. But, you know, what are we to do? We're not in the 1500s. I don't know that the majority of our listeners are Greek Catholics or are extraordinary form Roman Catholics. And so a good model is this program called Exodus 90. And
oh, sure. That is, yeah.
It breaks the book of Exodus into 90 readings. And so a general suggestion, pick a book of the Bible or pick a book and look at, you know, flip to the back page, take the pages, divide by 40, and set that as your thing. And you can pace yourself through a book over the 40 days of Lent. In Exodus 90, they take on penances. They give up alcohol. They take cold showers. They take on physical exercise. And you can do all these things. You can even pick up a diet. But as my first theology professor told us, don't just go on a diet. Turn it into fasting. Give it up for God. I'm doing this not just so it makes me skinnier or makes me fit into my spring and summer clothes,
mm-hmm.
but give it up for God. And there are side effects. Let the you fit better into your clothes be the side effect, but put God first. This might be harder in COVID, although I think, you know, we're just starting to open up now with the vaccines.
Yeah.
Is a community or a support group, to find a group of people. And, you know, we're all sick of Zoom calls, but maybe start up some sort of a prayer group Zoom call that you could do. And then the other one is, you know, it doesn't even require the internet. Make a holy hour. And if that's too much, make a holy half hour. And if that's too much, make a holy 15 minutes.
Sure.
Or a holy 5 minutes. And a lot of times people will say, you know, I've got kids underfoot, I've got responsibilities, I've got this. But I think we all find ourselves at some point or another during the day getting into or getting out of a car. And so if we can use that moment in the car and say, I'm going to take 5 minutes for God, or I'm going to take 15 minutes for God.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if we're driving from point A to point B, and it's a 10-minute drive or a 20 or 30-minute drive, turn that moment, that time of driving, into a time of prayer.
Yep.
And so we can make those spaces for God throughout our day, and with that, be able to not only pregame for Lent, but then dive headfirst into Lent, hit the ground running, and those 40 days will be gone before we even know they started.
Speaking, David, Father David Genuine, about keeping the car as kind of a sacred space as your chapel on four wheels, we very often talk about just integrating the Relevant Radio app. And by the way, if you have a car with Apple Play or with the Android Auto, you know, you can put the Relevant Radio app right on your dashboard and just tap it. And there we are all the time. So if you have a 10-minute drive, that's a Divine Mercy chaplet. If you got a 20-minute drive, you can do the 17-minute rosary with Father Rocky. And this is a great way to just kind of relax and focus and have that real quiet time with God as we prepare for Lent with Father David Genuine, a priest of the Diocese of Saginaw, Michigan. You know, you talk about fasting to fit better into our clothes, but fasting also really helps us fit better into our faith.
Yes, absolutely. And fasting, instead of thinking of fasting as depriving yourself of food, which I guess technically it is, but what I was one time doing a 3-day retreat in the woods and had decided I would fast and was eating very sparsely. And every time my stomach growled, I used that as a reminder to offer up the prayer of, I need more room for God in my life. God, fill me with you, as opposed to this rumbling in my tummy, which is telling me I'm hungry, and try to turn that into a hunger for God and use that as a way. And so it's a question, in a certain sense, of reframing things that we would already want to do, or maybe New Year's resolutions that we've already screwed up, and pick them back up, but reorient them, reframe them, and focus them towards God in some way, shape, or form. And maybe that's just the little hand on the shoulder, so to speak, that you need to pick up again those New Year's resolutions and turn them into Lenten resolutions.
Why'd you decide to go into the woods?
Well, actually, it was a retreat house in northern Minnesota, and I was going to seminary in St. Paul, and I got back early, and somebody said, well, we're cleaning the rooms or we're cleaning the carpet, and so I said, well, where can I go? And somebody said, well, there's this retreat center up in the woods, and they had little cabins, and they were so arranged that when you shut the front door, you couldn't see any other cabins, so all the cabins faced away from each other. And when you walked out the front door, you could see all the front doors of the cabins. And so there I was out in the woods. And it was all fun and games until for some reason I got this strange thought in my mind of Bigfoot. every click, every bird, every whatever was Bigfoot coming for me. So,
I'm sure there's some spiritual meaning to that if we had time.
It's a common problem up here in Minnesota, I tell you. Before you cross the street, you look for Bigfoot. Too.
Well, you know, I heard somewhere, I think in Oklahoma, that there's actually legislation to have Bigfoot season, but for trapping, not for shooting.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, Archbishop Hebden is going to be on the program later. We'll ask him about that as well in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, if there have been any Bigfoot sightings so far. But, you know, what you're talking about is really, as we talk about preparing for Lent, is just, you know, really some common sense. And to start out, because very often we bite off more than we can chew, the big New Year's resolution. And it's the same thing with what I'm going to give up for Lent, as opposed to just taking it in baby steps and let the Holy Spirit just kind of grab you by the crook of your neck and take you where he wants to take you during those 40 days.
Exactly. Yeah, an openness to the Spirit, an openness to what God has in store for you. Treat it as an adventure as opposed to a burden.
Absolutely, and you don't have to look for Bigfoot either.
What's going to happen today?
Right.
Well, that's true. You can if you want.
Perhaps, exactly.
Perhaps that's evangelization.
That is optional. Father David Genuine is a priest of the Diocese of Saginaw, Michigan, and one of our spiritual directors here on Morning Air. Father Genuine, look forward to our next conversation. Thank you.
All right, John. All right, Glenn. God bless you guys.